On Wednesday and Thursday of this last week, the St. Catherine's Preschool offered two beautiful Christmas services to family and friends in the space. Yes, there was some commotion, but there was wonderful singing. And St. Nicholas arrived, also known as John Lukoc. And it was a special time of remembering the joy of the story that is Christmas. And we often romanticize this Christmas story of a baby born in a stable, and that's okay. We need some joy in our lives. But sometimes we need to put the reality back into it, to remember that no parents ever wanted their infant to be laid in a feeding trough for animals. That no parents ever had dreams for their children of fleeing with them to another country in order to keep them from harm. And the story of incarnation of God with us is both glorious and tragic. Christmas is a gritty story, and it is a gritty time of year for many of us. And our texts today reflect this tension of joy and tragedy. John is in jail. The John the Baptist, the preparer of the way, now sits in prison. His path has brought him in an abrupt and to an abrupt and unjust end. And this strange song that we sing of Mary, when we look at the words of bringing down the powerful, of lifting up the lowly, of remembering those who are hungry and those who are sent away. And the story that is told, that Luke wants to tell through this song of Mary, is that God comes to bring down those who suppress God's dream of peace and justice. And we read Isaiah's vision of a desert turning into a beautiful garden, of a way for all humanity to travel on a highway. And so something in us needs to hold the tension on this day of waiting and arrival, of cynicism and hope. I think of how John, even in his confinement of his prison, refused to stop looking. He refused to stop preparing. He refused to stop seeing. And I think of a little boy in a Christmas pageant that was playing the role of an innkeeper. This little boy lived with Down syndrome, and his lines were simply to say, "Sorry, there's no room in the inn." And he practiced and practiced these seven words over and over again, taking his role so seriously. And when the big night came and it was a full church, the play went smoothly. Joseph and Mary knocked on the door, and he uttered his lines and slammed the door. And as Joseph and Mary were walking off, as the story goes, suddenly the inn door flung open again. And this young innkeeper, with tears streaming down his eyes, shouted at the top of his voice, "Joseph, Mary, baby Jesus, come back. There is room. You can have my room." And in the picture of hardness, my friends, we are invited into something of God's hospitality. And just like Phyllis, I was amazed that given our limited resources here at St. Catherine's, we were able to provide gifts for women and children in need in just 3 days, meeting the needs of those living in poverty. And so our hearts are full this time of year. And I wonder what it would mean to be called even deeper, to offer hospitality throughout the year in relationship with others. Mary's vision in her song, the Magnificat, shows us a model of equalizing power, where we are at this table together. Hospitality is more complex than welcoming those people into our church or making room at our table. It's not our table. This is God's table, and we come as equals, no matter what the journey we have traveled. Jean Vanier says, "If there is little room for strangers in community, there is usually little room for members." So it's so interesting when a community stops practicing hospitality, whether it's a family unit, whether it's a group of friends, whether it's a church, that group is usually struggling amongst themselves. But there's something of love and goodness when we can open up to the stranger among us. And it invites us into some challenging moments, because a stranger coming in brings new things, brings new ideas, some that might challenge our way of belonging together. And so we are called today into this complexity where we are a unit, a community, and we are called to open the door. I loved the line in Mary's reflection that Jessica read so beautifully for us. "We swore we'd raise our child different, with God's word in his ear, a temple in his heart, from the start, a place apart." And we, as community, can adopt practices that will keep our hearts and our tables open, as we practice that beginner's mind. You know what it's like when we come to a usual text that we've heard over and over again. We come to prayers that we've said many, many times. What would it be like to come with that curiosity of a child? God, what is it you are inviting me into today, beginning afresh again, always? Humility, where we become like a stranger to things that we know so well. When we ponder this season of a growing child in Mary's womb, a widening light, I sense the invitation for my yes. In the Catholic tradition, Mary symbolizes every man and every woman. And in Mary's humanity, she says the eternal yes to God. And in the words of the Beatles, "Let it be." And we are offered moments this Advent and throughout the days of our lives to utter our yes and let it be. For there is an annunciation that comes to us, to each of us. Hear this poem by Denise Levitoff. "Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies, enact them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often, those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in a man or woman are turned away from, in dread, in a wave of weakness, in despair and with relief. Ordinary lives continue, God does not smite them, but the gates close and the pathway vanishes. Friends, let us walk on this highway, this holy way, a way that is set apart, finding in us a way to say, you can have my room. Amen.